Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope to meet and shape your needs as a consumer in the marketplace.
Hello, and welcome to the Bistro Podcast. I'm your host, Elaine Espinola. It's Internet Safety Month, which is a time when organizations across America emphasize ways to keep you, your business, and your family safe from online dangers. There are no doubts that privacy risks and cybersecurity threats are out there, with bad actors constantly seeking new ways to penetrate through, steal our information, and threaten our safety. Today, we'll discuss our most vulnerable participants on the internet and important ways parents can keep them safe. We're talking about our children. Our guest today is Katie Goldstein, a privacy lawyer at the Children's Advertising Review Unit, also known as KRU, a division of BBB National Programs, here to discuss ways to protect your privacy of children online. She's just written a wonderful article for Parents Magazine on the topic and has joined us here to discuss. Katie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is not the first time you've been on the Bistro, and we really appreciate your insight.
Thanks. Yeah. So happy to be here.
Wonderful. Well, last time you joined us, we talked about internet-connected toys and the potential privacy and safety risks associated with them. And you shared really, really helpful tips for parents, myself included. I have three kids. It was very helpful. And we definitely encourage all of our listeners to go back and take a listen to that episode. And today we're going to discuss internet safety and ways parents can help protect and secure their children's privacy online. Because from internet-connected toys to mobile devices and tablets, and Katie, who knows what's next, right?
I know.
And so all of this is very important. And the fact is, children are online, and real and persistent dangers do exist.
They do, so, unfortunately.
Exactly. So can you remind us the policies and procedures through KRU and how it aids in the safety measures of the industry of advertisements to children?
Yeah. So KRU was founded back in 1974 when tablets were just, you know, a twinkle in our eye. We were founded to promote responsible advertising to children. We are the children's division of the advertising industry's self-regulation system. And what we do is we evaluate child-directed advertising and promotional material in all media for compliance with our guidelines as well as relevant laws. And the guidelines don't just cover advertising. They also are designed to protect children's privacy online. And so once we see an issue of noncompliance or something that we think may be deceptive advertising or, you know, someone isn't following the law online, we reach out to that company directly and open an inquiry with them. Send them a letter, and then we work with them voluntarily to help them bring themselves into compliance. Where companies don't want to participate, we do have the power to refer them to the FTC if we see an issue. We had a case recently that resulted in the largest COPPA fine ever, actually, for TikTok. If you Google TikTok, it
I've
should come
it.
Up. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's what we do. But I must say, for the most part, companies really do want to do the right thing and are usually pretty appreciative that we have found, you know, found them and can help bring them into compliance. So.
Sure. Well, I'm sure this role keeps you very busy, I would
yes.
imagine. And while it may seem like the retail market of connected gadgets and toys for children and, of course, access to the internet in general, it just feels like it's steamrolling through our children's lives, right? But parents need to know first and foremost, they do have rights regarding their children's online information.
Yes.
So this is really critical in protecting our kids. And so, Katie, tell us more about these rights.
So 20 years ago, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, fondly known as COPPA, was created, and it was actually based off of KRU's guidelines back in the day. COPPA requires websites and online services to obtain consent from parents before collecting their kids' personal information for kids under 13. So COPPA's purpose is really to give parents control over what information is being collected from their kids online. online. Under the law, parents have the right to review their child's information, delete it, and to refuse to permit further collection. But, you know, even with the law, it's not a replacement for parenting. You know, you really have a right to butt in. And, you know, I say, like, you know, monitor your children. Don't be afraid to have them, you know, require them to use their devices in family areas, especially for young children. I say, you know, monitor your kids. Don't stalk them. Mm-hmm. You know,
Fine line there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no, that's great information and just really helpful because sometimes it feels like parents don't have control and there's all these apps and there's these new things and we're just trying to keep up. But it's important to know, wait a second, we've got some rights here.
Yeah.
And, you know, if a parent can take the time or wants to take the time or will take the time to review, then they'll see that they do to opt out, as you mentioned, or some other things. So monitoring is so key.
Yeah, it's scary because so many kids often, you know, understand these devices better than their parents do.
Yeah.
And so they know all the workarounds. And so, you know, it is critical for parents to really, you know what the law is, understand that, and keep an eye on it.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, there are sometimes ways that parents can inadvertently put their children at risk online.
Yes.
Because maybe they just don't know. And obviously, again, their kids sometimes are more savvy. And of course, the last thing a parent wants to do is kind of help the, you know, quote, bad guys gain access to our children. Can you share the best practices for parents online to help us all avoid making our children targets? Let's begin with a child's right to choose. Katie, tell us more about this and what choices and then rights do children have?
Yeah. So for once, you know, parents really need to be mindful of what they're doing online as well. You know, we're so focused on the apps kids are on and what they're doing. But for parents, they really have a chance to control what they're doing because a lot of their own actions can sometimes also expose their children's information more than, you know, the kids would. So I'd say be cognizant of what you are doing online. When you're sharing a photo of your child or telling an embarrassing story about them online, you're really making this choice on their behalf without their consent most of the time. Recently, there was a Reddit thread that went viral where the child was asking for genuine advice of, you know, saying, my parent puts every single thing I do online and I don't want them to. But even when I asked my mom not to do that, then she put that online and was, you know, just shows that, you know, kids have these privacy concerns and, you know, the parents are the ones with the control for once. Gwyneth Paltrow even got some shade from her daughter. She was not pleased that her mom posted a photo of her and she said, Mom, you know, you promised no more photos until I approved. And, you know, her mom commented back like, but it's so cute.
Right.
And, you know, so it's understandable, of course, you know, as a mom myself, you want to share these adorable moments. You want, you know, to share your child's life. But, you know, you need to remember that once that information is out there, you can't get it back. Our director, I've heard her say before, you know, the genie, like once he's out of the bottle, like he can't go back in. And, you know, your actions have consequences as much as your children's do. And when you're posting, you know, certain photos or stories, you know, you have to think also down the road, like when your child's applying for college or a job, and that those things, you know, what you're putting out there too is going to be discoverable.
Right. Such a great point, Katie, because we preach it to especially like the teenage, you know, be careful what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
You know, future job prospects are looking at that and it's going, hey, mom and dad, be careful what you're putting out there about your kids because that's also out there.
And it's, you know, it's hard because sometimes parents really are wanting to connect with their community. It's like, hey, my child's doing this. Like, help me, you know, to your friends on social media. But, you know, then you have to think like, oh, like, I don't want someone to be able to somehow see that, like, this, you know, bad, you know, blip in what the child's, you know, behavior is then public knowledge.
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about that specifically because again, as we said, parents are sharing their milestones, their family adventures on social media. And, you know, I think most parents will say, I'm just connecting. I want to connect with family and friends, grandparents that can't be here. And it's like so innocent and wonderful. There's a lot of aspects about that are very wonderful. But it's important to note that marketers also love that we're sharing so much of this information, because it's a whole nother sort of demographic of people who want to see what we're sharing because it gives their company more insight into our world. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I agree. You know, social media really has brought us together, and it's, you know, become a great way to share, you know, wonderful milestones when you have a baby, things like that. But it's more that you just also want to be aware of what posting, you know, really means. So marketers do love what posting online. When you go for your child's first ultrasound and you're sharing that online, you're sharing the birth announcement, believe it or not, this is the first step that really does allow companies to, you know, start collecting a dossier of personal information. And I mean, they're, you know, not to sound, you know, to scare people, but, you know, they can go across devices, and then that information can really be used to compile a portfolio, you know, baby's first marketing portfolio, where you have, you know, the date of birth and the place of birth, and then, you know, you're doing other things on that device. And they, you know, again, it's not always so scary, you mm-hmm. know, what is happening, but just being aware that, you know, this is, you know, each piece of information is like a small piece of a puzzle that they are just being able to collect.
Sure, sure. Great advice. And let's talk about another kind of social construct, which is the hashtag, right? It's like the hashtag world, and hashtags allow us to join conversations or start new ones with individuals who might have the same interest, or, you know, they're like-minded in some way. Anyone can even just search a hashtag. If you want to kind of do some research or learn more about anything, you'll find a plethora of photos and other personal information. I hope I described it well enough. But Katie, for anyone who isn't familiar with how hashtags work, can you explain for them and then share what parents should be aware of when it comes to using hashtags in images or within content relating to our children?
Sure. So I think you did a great job describing it. It is, you know, you can on a social media post put a hashtag at the end and then a word right after that, and that becomes a searchable term that makes content more easy to find and easier for users to find, you know, certain categories of information. You know, there are a lot of like nail art, you know, a lot of them are like really cool. And then, you know, you can get great ideas, really fun stuff. And I think also now, in addition to being a functional feature, users also use it as kind of a way to express humor and sentiment, you know, love this baby, like worst day ever, stuff like that. But I think something that parents need to be cognizant of is their use. You may think things like using hashtag naked baby are funny, but, you know, labels like this may make it easy for some ill-intentioned predators or, you know, just even creeps, you know, just to find specific images. So, you know, just being mindful of that.
Yeah, being cognizant, that's everything. Another thing is location, right? Mm-hmm. Location is everything, right? Except for maybe when it comes to putting that on social media. So when we're protecting our children online, we should want to place less emphasis on location. Katie, tell us why.
Yeah, so, you know, I often see parents posting photos of their children live on social media. You know, we're at the zoo, and you're really kind of alerting people as to an exact location where you can find your child at that moment. And, you know, I don't want to sound alarmist, 99.99%, you know, but if you're going to document a location, I always tell people to do it after you have left. And similarly, don't, you know, document your home, because you just don't need, you know, that it doesn't need to be out there for the public.
Yeah. So documenting it afterwards is a good idea.
Yes.
If you're going to do it at all.
Yeah.
Got it. These have really been some great parenting information, Katie. What if parents are doing all of these things and let's just say a child's privacy has still been jeopardized somehow, some way online? What would be the first thing a parent might want to do? And I know that opens up the gates of like a lot of different scenarios, but would there be some general information you can share?
Yeah. So, you know, as you said, it kind of depends on what kind of privacy threat you're describing. But if you think, for instance, a website or an app that your child is on maybe experienced a data breach that could affect your child, I would say the first thing to do would be to go to the privacy policy, see if there's a contact listed that you can reach out to. to and let them know and see what they say from there. Unfortunately, a lot of the apps that may have issues are ones that are not going to be responsive or don't have, you know, a contact that's really easy to find. So consumers can file complaints with the FTC, and they can also file them with KRU. We really try to take our consumer complaints very seriously. And even if it's not an issue that KRU necessarily would handle, we often, you know, email back the people and, you know, try and point them in the right direction, put them in touch with the right person. And you can find that on our website, our consumer complaint form. And we really try to look into all of these. Now, if you think that someone's stolen your child's identity, then that's kind of a different situation, a whole different can of worms. But you can check, the FTC has a child identity theft page on their website, and you can find all kinds of information there. But a recent law was also passed, and you can, I have been telling people that they should do this as a precaution. You can actually freeze your child's credit. So, you know, my daughter is 2.5 and, you know, she's not getting a job. She's not going to need to use her credit for many years to come.
Sure.
I don't think so. You know, who knows these days, but
little entrepreneur, we never know.
Yeah. but you know, that's definitely something useful to help avoiding something like that. It doesn't, you know, totally prevent it, but you can read more about that in the Parents Magazine article, actually, that I wrote.
Yes. Speaking of which, when and where can we find a copy of the full article you wrote for Parents Magazine?
Yeah. So it is going to be live on parents.com, and it should be under the parenting section of the website.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on that. And thank you for sharing all of these really, really wonderful, helpful tips and information for parents to keep them safe. We really thank you for joining us on the Bistro again. This has been wonderful. One more time, can you share your website for our listeners?
Yes. So, we have actually a blog that would probably be really useful, where we try to keep that up with what's going on in the industry, as well as consumer news that they would find interesting. And that is krunews.blogspot.com. And we are also on Twitter at @KRU Ad Review. And we're on LinkedIn as well under Children's Advertising Review Unit.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if you're listening, please go check out those links. And once again, we thank you for joining us, Katie. This has been an awesome conversation.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And we thank you for listening to the Bistro Podcast, where we share the latest marketplace tips, trends, and insights. You can listen to more great episodes on iTunes anytime. Just search the Bistro. I'm your host, Elena Spinola, and until next time, it has been my pleasure discussing better business and internet safety with you.
You just enjoyed the Bistro Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTLprograms. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@bbbnp.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guest, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.